Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, oh, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you. As the song was coming, I was wondering, I hope you will still know that song. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Can we rise up to our feet? The blood of Jesus.
Oh, in the blood. Oh, in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Power. Oh, no walking power.
Oh, come, celebration.
Precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it again. There is power. Power. Oh, no working power. Oh, Ababose, Telegabose. Oh, the Lamb. Oh, there is power. When the working power in the blood, rush of blood. I'll sing, there is healing. Oh, there is healing. Healing. When the working healing in the blood of the Lamb. There is healing tonight. Yes, Jesus. Kabara Bosha. Maria Babasha. Proprema Koposa Prosha. Nekusa Kabarosha. Heal the precious blood.
We open up for the flow of the blood of Jesus. We open up for the flow of the life of Jesus. We open up tonight that you will bring healing to our hearts, bring healing to our souls. We open up, Jesus. Sakatose, Aposheta, Ah, Roparorosa, and the Proposa. We open up. Spirit, soul, and body, heal us tonight, Jesus. Hey, 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 hey. Palibus. 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 Father, we open up to you here tonight. We are professing again that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power, there is life in Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. There is the rest. There is the rest. there is rest. We will come into your rest. We will come into your rest. We desire to come into your rest. That you will reach us. We will come into your rest. Kabo sedes. Aronamo process. Nevronamo prefedosis. To send the prophetos. Eleanor separatus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' most excellent name, we have prayed. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is good. Pastor, I want to say thank you, sir, again for this opportunity. I know when I saw the theme, the priesthood, I know God is, apart from what God is saying to the rest of us, I know you as a church, you as a ministry, God is advancing you, you know, on a particular direction. Last year also was let's move on to perfection. Let's leave the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ and let us move on to perfection. And this year, we are looking at the priesthood. So I want us to know, this is what God quickened in my heart, that beyond what He sent to the rest of us, God is moving this church, this ministry, on a particular journey. And I want to, just like Pastor said the other time when he was sharing with us, that all of us must take heed. We must take heed, because this is not just a theme for a convention or a conference like this. It is to show us what is the next thing in God's agenda for us, and then particularly for this house. Amen. Because it's good for us to know that when we talk about the priesthood, we are talking about consecration. When we talk about the priesthood, we are talking about redemption. When we talk about the priesthood, we are talking about harvest. Harvest. I think there was a time we also talked harvest here. You see. It was harvest. So, you see, it's been going on the same trend. So, I know that beyond what He's saying to the body, He is speaking to the house. Hallelujah. And now, before God will come to harvest the whole world, understand the principle of Jesus saying to them, throw or cast the net into the sea. And then He asked them, as they casted the net, He said, pull it out. And then they pulled it out. And then they began to do sorting. So harvest is in phases. There is the first one, scriptures we say, many are called. That is number one harvest. Few are chosen. That is another harvest. That was what they were teaching us. That many have been called doesn't mean that there will be part of those who have been chosen. If many have been called out and a few selected out of the many, understand that between those few, there will still be a separation. There will be further separation. In the days of Jesus, when it was a large meeting, you have 4,000 people gathered at one meeting. Some other meeting, 5,000 people gathered. And then He would feed them with fish and feed them with bread. But there was another meeting that was different from that big one, where the 70 we gathered. That was yet a different separation. And then that was not all. There was another meeting again. That was a meeting of the 12. There was still yet another meeting outside the 12. That was a meeting of the 3, Peter, James, and John. And then there was a final separation, which was John who put his head on his chest. All these are sanctifications. All these are separations. All these are God bringing you into stages of development and separations. So understand, we are still advancing. We are living elementary principles. And we are coming to the place of perfection. In the name of Jesus. And so when God begins to introduce priesthood, He's telling us it's about time to invest us from the outer court to the holy place. The priest functions, but the primary place of the function of the priest is in the courts. In Psalm 100, he talks about enter his gates, not gates, not singular, gates with praise. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and into his courts with praise. So there are his courts, it's plural, it's 3, and gates, 3. You move, you keep advancing. Hallelujah. And so the job of the priest is to ensure advancement. For nobody can move if the priesthood is not introduced to you. So get it this way. Our medium of advancing is the priesthood. So in other words, you don't make progress in God until you come to the place of the priest. Hallelujah. And so there were these 2 aspects, even under the old covenant. You had the kings. What's the job of the king? The king is to apportion rights. And the king is also for judgment. So kings apportion rights. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The priest cannot give me my portion. Priest doesn't have abilities to give portion. Kings give portion. But you see, for me to attain my portion, I need a priest. So the job of the priest is to bring me into cleansing. He brings the things of the Lord to me and takes my things away. So when you approach the priest, you are approaching cleansing. His primary duty is to remove your things. Scripture says, for Jesus therefore could not commit himself unto man, for he knew what was in man. There are things in us. We have our things. And these our things, they are such that they could, with our things, we can manage ministry. With our things, we can manage preaching. With our things, we can manage Bible study. You see, we can have our things in place and we will still do ministry. God does not wait for you to be perfect before He calls you. It is an in-service training. So you see why we must always upgrade. So the message I preached 10 years ago, I cannot, listen, what I preach now is better than what I preached 10 years ago. There are some things I preach now and my mind flashback and I remember, oh listen, I said this to you some time ago, it was not accurate. That was the light I had then. So I will say it again now to let you know a greater light has come. I am saying it better than I said it 10 years ago because I am advancing. You are not the one journeying. I am also journeying. Paul says I don't want to be a castaway having preached to others. So if your concern is to make others make progress, and you, the preacher, you are not making progress. It's deadly. Hallelujah. So a church will advance as the leadership is advancing. Do you understand? That the people cannot grow better or higher than the one God has set over them. Can I hear amen? So have understanding. Kings have their things, but priests also have their things. So, the job of the king is to give us our portion. Do you understand that? The job of the king is to give us our portion. Is to discern. Judgment is for kings. But when you are talking about salvation, kings can't handle that. Or you say, it is not in their jurisdiction. Salvation is in the jurisdiction of the priests. Do you understand? So this is why a priest is a covering. He is our pastor. A priest is the one that interacts with your weakness. King cannot. King doesn't have ability to bear weakness. Priests bear weakness. Priest identifies with the weakness of the people. Priest brings cleansing because he has his own tools for cleansing, gifts and sacrifices. This is why before there could be an effective priest, he must also have his own hood. A priest cannot function out of his own hood. So when you talk about priesthood, you are talking about a priest house. So he functions in his hood. You know, you have some cardigan that have hoods. It's not every cardigan that has hoods. So what does the hood do? What does it do to you? It protects your head. What is relevant about your head? It is the seat of salvation. Remember? Helmet of salvation. So salvation will not be completed until we come into the hood of a priest. Now the priesthood of the Old Testament is different from the priesthood of the New Testament. Do you understand? So the hood of the Old Testament was that natural order of the tabernacle, outer court, holy place, and the most holy place. The priest couldn't function outside this place. Now, when he comes into his hood, he's no longer your brother. He's no longer your neighbor. Otherwise, people would have been sneaking to their homes. Jomoti Shell, Mumbola Rola. Only Toto Dove and Three Cow, they can negotiate a German Pinu. And praise the Lord. But you see, when the priest is talking to you, you don't negotiate. So that he will not also bring corruption into it. God now tied his own salary to whatever the people brings. So because the meat they are bringing is where your wife will cook soup from. Am I communicating? So the priest must be very serious with his job. Hallelujah. So have this understanding that when the priest takes on the anointing and steps into that place, it's no longer your neighbor. Do you understand? It's like a pastor preaching. When you are preaching and the anointing comes on you, you are no longer the husband of that woman. Understand that the one who is talking through you now is even higher than you talking. So you understand that functionality cannot be effective if we do not come into our hood. So there is something now they call priesthood in the New Testament. They call it holy. It's a holy. Let me read that place. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. Let me read it from verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. This is your hood. You are built up a spiritual house. In other words, Jesus cannot function and could not function under the physical and earthly tabernacle. Do you get that? Because that was not his hood. So you cannot bring the high priest called Aaron into this place. He will be demobilized. Aaron cannot also function here. Because if you don't understand your hood, you can't understand your functionality. So ye are also lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And holy, that spiritual house is an holy priesthood. That spiritual house is an holy priesthood. Hallelujah. So what is that spiritual house? What is that spiritual house?
So now, when we come to that place to offer up spiritual, this is a place where they offer spiritual sacrifices that is acceptable to God only by Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. So now when Aaron stepped up, by the time God was going to bring Aaron into the priesthood, Aaron occupied some other offices. Jesus himself didn't start out like this. How did Aaron start? Aaron started as a prophet. Remember when they stood before Pharaoh, God said to Moses, Aaron is your prophet. That was how Aaron started out. So Aaron didn't start out as a priest. Aaron didn't start out as a priest because when Moses and Aaron appeared before Pharaoh, it was not time for salvation of the soul. It was time for them to bring for God to bring them out of sin. So in other words, when they are bringing you out of sin into Christ, you don't need intercession. Romans chapter 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So for a person to come out, that is not the real intercession. Scripture says Jesus is sitting at the right hand side of God now. And what is he doing? He is not interceding for sinners. He is interceding for us. So what intercession do you think we need that we might be saved? What is that? Salvation is in progress. It's in different categories and levels. First, a man is born again. That is, we call it initial salvation. That being born again, Peter's call it, not being born of corruptible seed, he said, being born again of an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. When a man experiences that, what has happened to him? He has come out of Egypt. And he has come into the promised land. Abi? But what I'm saying to you now is that a man does not need the Ark of the Covenant to come out of Egypt. The priest doesn't have function until there is the Ark. Because his advancement or his work is not just for the sake of salvation. His work is because there is the throne. There is the Ark which is advancing towards. So the very first journey of our being born again does not and will not require the Ark. You don't need the testament. They just said, believe. You don't even know what saved you. Scripture says, having been saved, you should now come to the knowledge of the truth. That you are born again doesn't mean you know truth. That you are born again doesn't mean you know truth. Because when a man is stepping into truth, there are things that you know now that are true, but are not true in your realities. When they bring truth to you now, you may reject it. Because it's truth in another sphere. But when they bring that truth into your soul, it's no longer truth. Hallelujah. So God is saying to us, we must make progress. That is the advancement towards what? Perfection. So after a man has crossed over, he's now coming towards God. Now they now tell him, there is such a thing called the Ark. First, they will have to take Aaron and consecrate Aaron. Hallelujah. They consecrate Aaron for the service of the sanctuary. Say amen. Amen. Aaron and his sons. So people will have to now keep coming with their own sacrifices. All the lambs, all the goats, all the turtle doves, all the cow, bulls, whatever they brought to them. They were all sacrifices.
But the Bible says, oh, none of this sacrifice could remove sin. None of these sacrifices could remove sin. So it's clear that there is something Aaron had, but which could not save a man to the uttermost. Aaron had something, but couldn't save man to the uttermost. So God had to prepare a different priesthood. Even Aaron messed up at the time. Twice, we saw that the children of God became naked. First was in the garden. The first man and his wife ate the fruit they were not supposed to eat. Immediately, scripture says, they became what? Naked. They became naked. So God was the very first priest. God was the very first priest. Because you have to know that another duty of the priest is to bring covering. Without a priest, we are not covered. It is a priest you confess your sins to. I'm not talking about Father. It's a priest who understands how to atone. It's a priest who understands what to use to touch and cleanse. Amen. And so the second time, scripture says they became naked. They came out of Egypt. And the Bible says, Moses was called up to God on that mountain. Are you with me, somebody? As Moses got to that mountain, God delayed Moses there. And Moses was there for days. But you know what? Now the responsibility came on Aaron's shoulder to now show the people the God that brought them out of Egypt. And the Bible says, Aaron asked all of them to bring their earrings, bring their necklaces, bring their gold, bring anklets, bring bangles, bring all kinds of gold in whatever. And then fashioned it into a molten calf. Follow me, I'm going somewhere. Fashioning it into a molten calf was bad enough. If he had ended there, he had sinned. But not an exceeding sin. He made a molten calf. Now I'm going to prove it to you very shortly that the materials Aaron used to make molten calf was a gift. Part of the things, tools that the priest used is gifts and sacrifice. God told them, ask the Egyptians, collect all their gold. Overnight, there was transaction. And they came out with heavy amount of gold. But you know what? Aaron didn't stop there. He said, behold the God that brought you out of Egypt. Ah. I call that bad spirit in leadership. Aaron at the time was a bad spirit in leadership. He said, this is the God. Now listen to me. Everybody must know the God that brought them, your people, or the people, out of Egypt. Aaron didn't know. He said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. Pastor Thompson, you're welcome. This is the God that brought you out of Egypt. As he said that, God got angry. He told Moses, see your people. At that time, they're no longer my people. Your people. Because Aaron did something. I want you to understand that the priest has power to clothe. Part of this duty is to clothe you. When you get clothed, you shall not be found naked. Hallelujah. Now, Aaron didn't know what he did. God killed him there. But you know what? God has his style. His style is, if we kill him now, what will happen to the people? The people will scatter.
They won't understand because God is not ready to come down to explain to anybody why he should kill Aaron. But one day God said to Moses, tell Aaron to come up to the mountain. And his son, Eleazar. And both of them came to the mountain. Aaron knew what was happening. Aaron knew what was happening. Because feasts were not done on the mountain. So if you are asking for the priest, the high priest and the son of the priest, of the high priest, to come to the mountain. And as they were going there, they knew. He said, bring with you all your regalia. Come with those things. They knew the calendar of feasts. Which kind of feast is this one? So all of them climbed up to the mountain. And then Moses looked at them. You know, Moses had passion for Aaron. But at that time, I told you, when the anointing comes on them, you are no longer a neighbor or a brother. He said, I'm sorry. Remove his garment. He removed it. Put it on your son. He put it on his son. Remove all the other things. He removed them. Put it on your son. He put it on your son. Then he said, die. Die. God said, die. You don't ask questions. Even Moses himself, that was how they finished him. They also called him to the same mountain. And he said, die. It's a command. Praise the Lord. But hear what God is saying to us tonight. Before Aaron died, God said to Aaron what was his problem. He said, I'm doing this to you because you made my people naked to their shame. When you asked for the golden earrings and you fashioned a molten calf, you made my people naked to their shame. That was what God said. So in other words, Aaron acted contrary to his calling. Aaron acted contrary to his ministry. Am I communicating? So now, because God was not interested in the shame of his people, God is interested in the coverings of his people. So it's clear to us that one reason God will raise the priesthood is for covering. So I use a kind of example the other time. You have cardigan or sweaters that have hoods. What do you do to with cardigan? Not don't mind all these fashion boys now. Who wear it, whether it is cold or hot. That hood is supposed to protect you. The hood is supposed to protect your salvation. The hood is supposed to protect your head. The hood is supposed to protect you against cold. The hood is supposed to protect you against anything that could affect you. Am I communicating? But when the wood is open and exposed, the man is naked. Do we get this? Hallelujah. So now, God understood that for him to finish up the job of apportioning meat and apportioning rewards for his people, there must be cleansing. Hallelujah. There must be cleansing. So I said to you, what's the duty of the king? The king does what? Apportions what? There are rights. The Lord is my portion. So the duty of the king is to minister the Lord. God also said to Abraham, I am your great and exceeding reward. Hallelujah. Car is not our reward. Houses are not our reward. Money is not our reward. Anything that nature can give you is not the reward. The Lord is my reward. Can you shout that? The Lord is my reward. But we need a priest. I told you the reward will not come to fulfillment if the priest does not do his job. Because it is as we are being cleansed that we advance towards the reward. As we are being cleansed that we make progress. But God is there for us. Jesus is the King of Kings. Say amen. Amen. He can judge. Remember the man Solomon. Huh?
two women slept. And as they slept, there were two babies. They slept on one, and the baby died. So it remained one that was alive. And both of them argued over the one that was alive. And then they went to meet the king. Oh, king, this baby belonged to me. The other one said, no, it belongs to me. Now the king said, let me ask you a question. Excuse me. Is the baby yours? He said, it's my own. What about you? Is it yours? It's my own. It was one dead. It's true. Is that your own? Not my own. You, is that your own? Not my own. Okay, both of you give back to the living one. Yes, my king. Understand judgment. Then the king said, would you mind if I divide this baby? So everybody take half. And then one of the women said, yes, divide the baby. Let everybody take half and let us get out of here. The king said, so you want half? That means the baby is not your own. Because you should know that half baby can no longer live. And so that was how Solomon gave the baby to the other woman. And then they said Solomon gave to that woman her portion. And then that thing went round. Scripture says, the fame of Solomon went round everywhere for a judgment that looked so, it looked so simple, right? But it was not simple. It required wisdom. It required discernment to be able to do that. Praise the Lord. But hear me. Solomon, who did get the baby to the right person, that was judgment as a king, could not save the other woman from her corruption. So the king can give you portion. But it is not the duty of the king to save you from corruption. So the essence of the priesthood is for salvation. Say amen. Amen. That is where they save you from your things. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Read it from verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2. From this one. I always like us reading together because God is speaking to all of us. Say amen. Amen. Wherefore, everybody, let's go. Laying aside all malice, all guile, and all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. These are our things. They commanded, lay it aside. But you cannot lay it aside by your power. How many of you have discovered some things in your life? You are like Paul would say. He said, three times I besought God. Remove this thorn away. I don't know what the thorn was. But he said, three times I besought. Some people say it was sickness. Whatever. But he said, three times I besought God. Remove this thing from me. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Huh? There are things that you cannot remove because they are part and parcel of your soul. There are different kinds of souls. So these are our properties. When you now read in Colossians chapter 3, Scripture talks about your members which are upon the earth. I didn't write the Bible. He talked about your members. He mentioned fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, all kinds of wickedness. But he called them your members. I didn't call them your members. The Bible said they are your members. Because if you don't know the things you really possess, you won't know why you need a priest. I have just shown to you that the job of the priest is different from the job of the king. Hallelujah. A king rules over the land. A priest rules over his soul. So as the king is a king of the land, the priest is the king of the soul. No man can have access to the soul of a man. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Hallelujah. Verse 2. computer vessel. Thank you. As newborn babes. So that is the way to make to begin the journey. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow by them. That is the beginning point. I told you, when you are coming out of Egypt, you don't see the job of the priests. Come on. You don't need an intercession of the high priest to come out of Egypt. A leader can do that. But when it's time to enter into the promised land, when you're coming into inheritance, then they put a priest. So priesthood is the gate to inheritance. So you can say all kinds of inheritance and preach all kinds of inheritance. To come in, the priest must take you one by one. He has his things. He has gifts and sacrifices. These are tools for souls. So you don't enter inheritance by confession. No. It's not by claiming. No. You don't even give offering to get it. You say, I like that inheritance. I want to drop my salary for next month. They will tell you your money perish. So this is the beginning of the journey. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. Desire the sincere milk. There are things to desire that will introduce you to the high priest. If you don't have this desire, you will not meet the high priest. If you don't have this desire, you cannot meet the high priest. Have this understanding that God is our king. He is also our lawgiver. He is also our judge. When Jesus was hanging on the tree, remember, he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible says, and God turned his face away. Why would he need to turn his face away? If he had not turned his face away, he would have been tempted to deliver Jesus. Because it is the same person who is God. It is the same person who is the judge. It is the same person who is God. It is the same person who is the judge. When Jesus hung on that tree, he has put his wig, whatever you call it, sir. Thank you. On his head. At that time, he's no longer your father. He didn't say, my father, why are thou forsaking me? My God, my God. He didn't say, my father, because the one standing in front of him now put on the wig. At that time, he was ready for judgment. He could be his son, but within him is also a father. So the father turned his face away in the same person. The judge faced the man. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't die. The father turned his face away. The judge faced the boy. I told Abraham to give me his son, and he did. If I now spear you, will Abraham not say, will the judge of the whole world not do right? You will face it, boy. So you see that God does not turn. Yet the Bible says, and he turned his face away. For 3 hours there was darkness. It's not God who turned. If God turns, the Bible says, he turneth not. But Father can turn. You can turn heart of father to children. And turn the heart of the children to father. Father can turn. God cannot turn. So this same God is saying, he has been the first priest. Every priest he will raise will be like him. So when it's time to take the knife and face the neck of the bull, they don't turn. That is why the high priest will wear his veil. Wear everything he wears. Because the blood of the bull or the goat or whatever they are bringing must not touch his own skin. If it does, he dies. So they asked him to wear what belonged to him. Take your time and study Exodus. What belonged to Aaron was the white garment. And that speaks of the righteousness of God which he borrowed. He was the husband of a wife. Automatically, he's unclean in Israel. According to marriage, he was unclean in Israel. Not only that, he now put on these aprons on that white, made of three different colors. Made of three different colors. All these were borrowed. They were not things he generated from himself. So you see the inadequacies of the first high priests. So the Bible now says, if the former one was faultless, there was no need for another one to come. But because he has a lot of faults, so much faults, you know what God is looking for? That we thrill God. Anything he didn't create. God wants to see people's children, lives that will come out of his own seed. You understand? Let me say it again. God will be thrilled for God to say, well done. Is if he saw a seed there and he watched the fruits coming out. God will be thrilled. That is why God is thrilled about the fruit of the Spirit. Because God never planted fruit of the Spirit in anybody. It is the seed of the Spirit they plant. So the seed must generate and bring forth fruit. It is by their fruit we know them, not by their seed. So God will always desire that. That God has planted something and is coming back and sees something else out of what he has put there. Praise God. Thank God is thrilled. But God is saying to us tonight that Aaron was not faultless. The things he used were not his things. Even the blood for the atonement was not his blood. Do you understand why he was weak? Why that testament was weak? It's not that God hated the Old Testament. Everything used for it, external. Praise God. And now God is saying, this was why they were called stiff-necked people. They kept receiving things from God. But they couldn't turn from inside. But you know, Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If a man shall turn to the Lord, then the veil will be taken away. So the place of the job of the high priest is to make men turn. Make men turn. You can keep hearing preaching and you are taking notes to form another message. But you are not turning. When the high priest will touch you, this is how they know a man that has been touched. He will turn. What is he turning to? Turning to the Lord. Because the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. So God expects us to turn. We must turn. But again, all they did in the Old Testament could only touch the body. You see? The blood of bulls. The Bible says, I don't have the time to read all. Couldn't touch men. Couldn't make the common perfect. They did service, but they were not perfect. We were here last year. When God spoke to us, let us go on to perfection. That was last year convention here. Hallelujah. Now God is saying something else again today. Not actually something else. He's trying to tell you, it's the same thing, that while we perfect what we started teaching last year, is this priesthood. that when we start experiencing the job of this new high priest, we shall begin to turn. We will turn. We shall turn. It is as we turn that we shall no longer be found naked. A priest made them naked to their shame. It will take another priest to cover them. The nakedness that Aaron brought to Israel, you cannot fathom it. Brains, minds of men cannot capture the gravity. Can you imagine that Moses veiled his face and the hearts of the people were veiled? What technology is that? Throughout history, by that simple physical art, you think God wanted to move Moses from the law to grace just to show him it is not yours, but you can taste it. Moses in Exodus 33 said to God, I want to see your face. As I stepped in here this evening, that was the song we were singing about the face. God said, you can't see my face. The same thing he called glory. God said, no man shall see my face and live. Moses said, I want to see it. God said, you don't understand. I mean, if you see it, you will cease to be a man. Meaning, my face will make people divine. My face will make people God. My face will bring out God in you. So Moses, you don't yet have the platform on which you can stand and demand to see my face. When Moses asked God for more, God said, don't worry. There is a cleft by my side. A cleft is a broken mountain. Who is that broken mountain? Jesus, who has broken out of that big rock. Deuteronomy says, our rock is not their rock. There is a rock that is God. There is one who followed them in the wilderness. They call him Christ. And Christ is that same rock. He brought water for them. God says, I will put you on that cleft. And I will use my hand to cover your face. And I will pass by you. And as I pass by you, I will remove my hand from your face. And you will see my back part. My face you will not see. What a God. So in 2 Corinthians, scripture now started talking about the God who shines out of darkness. He said he's now shining where? In our heart. What is he bringing to be? He's showing the face of God by Christ Jesus. There is a light of the glorious gospel of Christ which depicts the face of Yahweh. So that hearts can begin to interact with face. As hearts begin to interact with face, then hearts can turn. If hearts will not interact with face, hearts cannot turn. Because heart is the part that can turn. Just as face is the part that can turn. Help me welcome this God's servant. You welcome, sir. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. Face is the part that can turn. So you see, heart is also the part that can turn. Face is God. God is saying, my face cannot, you can't carry my face on your head. It has to be in your heart. God will shine on it and tattooed it in the heart. By shining, when man begins to receive that light in him, he will discover that evil is swallowed up by light. That is not prayer point. It's an invasion. He said, as it is portrayed by Christ, they invade the heart by light and then get them to change. You don't change hearts by teachings of rules and regulations. It happened before. It didn't work. Thou shalt not. Listen, in Exodus chapter 20, what was the first law? Don't have any other God. Don't make graven image. What was the sin Aaron committed? Graving the very first law. And their own law says if you break the first one. So you see why they couldn't turn. And God used one word for them. Stiff-necked. Not this neko. Hearts that cannot turn. When you see Christians today who cannot turn, they have not seen the light of the glorious gospel. He says, I want to beg you, forgive your sister. I want to beg you. And you say, lie, over my dead body. That heart has not seen light. Is that the meaning of stiff necked? Stubbornness is I, me, myself. That's the definition of stubbornness. I, me, myself. So how do they know a child that is following God if a man can be led by the Spirit? Which heart can be led by the Spirit? It is only the heart that has been conquered. You meet many youths today. What is leading? Who to marry? But it's not even about who to marry. God is saying you have your things. The reason I am bringing the high priest to you is because it's only the high priest who can remove your things. If your things don't go, it's a gospel of exchange. If your things don't go, you can't handle my things. Am I communicating? Now I am handing this handkerchief. Can you add your own to it? Except I let this go. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? What must I do to have eternal life? I want eternal life. The type you are preaching, Paul. I want eternal life. I want it. Paul said, you are holding something. No, I'm not holding something. Okay, which law have you obeyed? Jesus said, which law have you obeyed? He said, I've been keeping all the law. Everything from when I was small. That was what Jesus said to him. Everything. He said, everything. You have been keeping everything. He said, no. And you want eternal life? Go. Sell what you have. Sell what you have. How can I sell what I have? I want eternal life. Let me add it to the law. So it can become eternal law. Not eternal life. Because life turns. Life changes. A man was 10 years last year. This year is 11. Because he has life. Law does not change. If he was 10 years last year, today is 10 years. Next year is 10 years. But if it's life, it grows. Anything that life has touched, the sign is grows. So he was saying to him, you cannot come into this realm until the high priest steps in. We need the high priest. We need the high priest. That is why in Hebrews chapter 3, he tells you, he said, holy brethren. See the way he addressed us. Holy brethren. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Then I said, do what? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Our profession is our confession. Our confession is Christ Jesus. If a man shall believe in his heart and confess with his mouth. What is he supposed to confess with his mouth? Study Romans chapter 10 again. He never told him to confess his sin to be born again. He had not sinned. A sinner does not commit sin. A sinner cannot be tempted. A sinner cannot fall. A sinner cannot fall. Now hear what Jesus said concerning those who don't know Jesus. For all who have not known him, he said they are dead already. Condemned already. I met somebody some years ago in front of Adeyemi College. I said, you're a Christian? He said, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Catholic. I said, good. He said, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Catholic. I said, that's good. I started talking with him. I wanted to evangelize him. People don't evangelize nowadays, but it's good to evangelize. Talk to people about Jesus. As I was talking to him, he said, see, I don't believe in all that. I don't believe. I said, no problem. There's nowhere in the Bible where they say you should believe in hellfire. So, it's not a matter of I don't believe in hellfire. Don't believe. but believe in Jesus. They ask you to believe in Jesus. Not that you believe in whether there is hellfire or heaven. Believe in Jesus. So he was telling me, I don't believe all that. I said, good. Have you been committing sin? He said, all right, some sins I don't commit. Ah, I said, you are missing, no? So you have not been smoking? He said, no. You don't have a girlfriend? He said, no. I said, you are missing? He said, what do you mean? It has been credited to your account. I said, you are missing. You are missing because it has been credited to your account. So just go ahead and do it. So that when they say, did you do it? Yes, sir. What about that one? Yes, sir. You don't want to call? Yes, sir. What's my tone? Go to lake of fire. Simple. Let me round it up this way. There are many things to say. But you know what? We now have a new high priest. His name is Christ Jesus. His name is Christ Jesus. This, our new high priest, he has things. He couldn't minister on the earth. He has no place on the earth as a high priest. If he should go to Jerusalem to do anything, they will stone him. I heard something about history concerning Israel. That 75% of Jews are still waiting for the second coming of Jesus. Meaning they are practicing Judaism. 11% Pentecostal. The remaining percentage, Muslims, Hindus, unbelievers, and so on. If 75 say Jesus has not been born, is that past mark or fail? That is practice A1. You don't understand? That's A1. 70 in school. 75%. That's A1. That means the whole nation don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. Did you get that? The whole nation don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. So if they don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, how can they believe in Jesus who is the high priest? Because the door to the job and duty of the high priest is that you must be born again. You see that? When you are born again, you come to Christ with your things. All your malice, all your weakness, we all come to Christ. All of us. So having come to Christ, you now come and meet Christ who is high priest. He now has hyssop. He has blood. He has sacrifice. He has gift to apply to your soul. That is how they do washing. It's not just confessing that you committed fornication. There are things you cannot commit, and there are things you cannot confess. Sin is not only by commission. Sin is also by omission. The dead that know how to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. It's not only what you have done. It's also what you have not done. That you don't even know you have not done. He said, if God were to count iniquity, who will stand? Because we are all carriers. Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? There's sin here. But there's another law at work. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is what is working inside. That is what the high priest is holding. That is the hope that they will save you to the uttermost. So it is possible. You don't run away because you are weak. Come closer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. A rest still remains. We can still come into that rest. This is the reason of this for this priesthood. Come into this wood. He cannot minister to you if you go to Jerusalem. You can go there for picnic. But he's in the spirit. He's in the spirit. You come to him now, it's by spirit. You come under his covering. That is his hood. And then he starts ministering to you. But God will perfect what he has started. Shall we rise up to our feet? Jesus. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. I want to pray one prayer today. Minister to me and save me from my shame. Take your time and read 1 Peter. I don't have all the time. He said, when this job is completed, we shall not be found naked. Pray, God will free us from shame. We will not be in shame. I don't want shame. None of us want shame. Shame is not lack of money. Shame is a soul that cannot turn. The angels are looking. And they say, look at this man. He's full of his ways. He can't turn. That's shame. Talk to God. Free me from shame. Deliver me from shame. Cover my nakedness. I want to be covered. I want to be saved to the uttermost. Free me from my limitations. Free me. Free me. Deliver me. Mercy. Merciful Father. Have mercy. Karoshev. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.